I do have a little to share with you this morning. Have you ever, like, sat around and thought about who you are? You ever ask yourself that? Who am I? Even more specifically, have you ever thought or asked yourself, who am I in the context of a follower of Jesus, of being a Christian? What does it mean? And I know sometimes in life we can come up to certain circumstances and events and things in our life, and we can kind of start asking ourselves, why am I doing this? You know, who am I in this? What, you know, maybe there's something that really pushes us or challenges us, like, say, maybe, I don't know, pandemic, you know, all kinds of things that go on in life and culture that push us to maybe start asking who we are and how do we function and what's my purpose? And these are like huge questions of life that continually should come up in us. And we need to be able to look at them and say, well, this is who I am. And I think we need to understand the sources that we're drawing from to answer those questions in our life. And as Christians, our main source is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit teaching us through the Word of God to find out who we are. And oftentimes the Holy Spirit speaks through the people around us and answers that question for us in part, who are you? And that's a wonderful, awesome thing. So today I'd like to look at a little bit of that, answer that question just a little bit, but who are we as Christians? What's one of the aspects of Christianity as a follower of Jesus that says this is who you are? This is one part of who you are. And we are in Matthew, and we're continuing through the Sermon on the Mount. Joe just finished up on the Beatitudes and talked about persecution and being blessed in the midst of persecution. And that's a great one. It's like, who am I? I'm persecuted. Woohoo! But what's awesome about Jesus is that we can actually get to the place where when we're being persecuted or we're being pressed because of him and because of who he is, that it's a joyful thing. It is an awesome thing. It is a thing of honor and a place, where we're blessed. And so God pours out this blessing on us. And then because of that, we end up sometimes being persecuted. We take a stand or we're living our life according to Jesus and stuff happens. So today, I want to talk about the fact that we're salty. We are the salt of the earth. And this is continuing on in the Sermon on the Mount. We're heading into a couple of you are statements, and I'm just going to tackle the first one today. And it Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." So this scripture says, "You are the salt of the earth." So if you're ever sitting around wondering sometime, you know, who I am, and in the context of Christianity, your relationship with the Lord, who am I? You're the salt of the earth. You're salty. And not in the old school way. You know, there's a slang way of saying someone's salty. That's kind of like someone who's just kind of grumpy and really ticked off, and oftentimes about like minute things, kind of, you know, making mountains out of molehills kind of person, always grumpy. That's a salty person, but that's a worldly salty kind of person. A Christian who's salty is someone who is allowing the flavor of Jesus Christ and his character to shine through us to influence the culture around us. And that's what it means to be salty. So what I want to do is look at that today. How does that apply to us and how do we work that in our lives? So the first part of that is, I think we need to ask ourselves is, who's you? It says you are. And the simple answer is everyone who's following Jesus. Those who follow Jesus Christ. If you have surrendered your life to him, if you are a disciple, however you want to look at it, Joe mentioned last week, talked about us being kingdom people, that the kingdom of God is here and now. If Jesus is your king, he is your Lord, then the kingdom of God is with you, and you are a manifestation, and you're bringing the kingdom to the world. You're a kingdom person, and that's who the you are. So you are. And what's really interesting is it doesn't say, Jesus, when he's saying this, he doesn't say, you know, you will be the salt of the earth, or you are becoming the salt of the earth. He says, you are. So to answer part of that question about who am I as a Christian, you are the salt of the earth. So what does that mean? Well, that means there's no plan B. It's like, you know, God has said, you are the salt of the earth. And you are someone who is to bring that saltiness of the kingdom to the world around you. You don't have to wait to do it. You don't have to go through a, you know, a program. You don't have to, you know, listen to four podcasts and you know, then do a test afterwards to get your salty badge. You know, you are, as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple, as a kingdom person, you are the salt of the earth. And so there's no waiting. We can go and be that salt. He's asked us to, he's called us to that. And so what does that mean? You know, that means that you're becoming the person that you are. So one of the things it's not saying is that you're the salt of the earth. It doesn't mean that you're like perfectly, you know, you're there. It's like the journey is done. What it does mean is that you are that and you are becoming that, and God has graced you and gifted you to be that, and that you're becoming into that. One of the stories I can think of that would be a good way of looking at it was Josiah. He's one of the kings in Judah, in Israel, Judah, I think. And he was, I think, 8 years old when he became king. And so he was, at eight, he was the king. So it wasn't like you're becoming the king. It's like, nope, 8 years old, he was a king. The whole country had established him, put him on the throne. God had put him on the throne and said, you are the king. But it was something that he had to kind of grow into. It wasn't that he wasn't the king, but at 8 years old, he didn't have a whole lot of skills. His skill set maybe was there, but pretty raw. And so he had tons of people around him, and he was becoming the king in the sense that he was growing into that. And that's how we are. It's like we are the salt of the earth, but it's a journey that we go on to become the people who understand what that means and how to really fully function in that role that God has given us. So it's not like we have to wait to be the salt. We can just get at it. And yeah, I can't imagine being king at eight. Man, I just, you know, I was talking with someone the other day, and we were talking about jobs and different things, and the president of the United States is one job. No, not going to do it. I would not want to do that job. That would be brutal. So I can't imagine like being a king at eight and it'd be like, what? Anyway, so, but you are the salt of the earth, and it's something that you are and that we're moving into. And what's really cool about that is it means that right from the get-go, if you can't think of anything else, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. Jesus is saying you are the salt of the earth. That means you have a purpose. And we'll talk a little more about later what that specifically looks like. But, you know, you have something to do. You're to go out and, you know, as you live your life, you're growing and you're maturing and whatnot, that you have a purpose in the midst of all of that to be the salt of the earth. And once again, there's other aspects that we, you know, that define us in the Bible that says you are this, you are that. But it's just part of our identity. And so we have a purpose in that. We always have something that we can do, and that's being the salt of the earth, which is really cool. And another thing I think is it, you need to think about the fact that that purpose we have has been something that has been established for a long time, for thousands of years. You know, there's been people who have been kingdom people and who have been part of being the salt of the earth, and we get to participate in that. It's not just like this random thing that just happened, you know, recently. But to me, that's really cool. It's like we're part of the family of God that's been functioning for thousands of years, and it's moving forward, being the salt of the earth year after year after year after year. And to me, that's great. It's just like it means that I'm part of this global organization, if you want to think about that, or even better, a global family that I'm part of. And in that family, I play a purpose and a role, and we're all moving forward, and we have one head who is Jesus Christ, and there's this understanding that, you know, we belong to one another as we belong to him, and we go forward, and we salt the earth, you know, as we'll see later what that means, but that's just really cool. And another awesome thing about the fact that he says you are is that's a great gift. God has graced you with this. He doesn't just say you are, you know, the salt of the earth, and he's like, okay, go figure that out. But he gives us the grace and the ability, so we get this wonderful gift of this identity that is given to us by Jesus. That's awesome. And it gives us a sense of who we are, and it gives us a sense of grounding, a sense of connection, like I say, through the generations, a connection to one another, connection to people all over the world who are following Jesus. You know, you are the salt of the earth. Not you're becoming, but you are. So all those things in that statement that you are, that's really, really awesome. So understanding that and starting to let that work in our life is a really cool thing. And it allows us to grow in maturity, and it gives us some stability too. You know, a lot of times, you know, if if you have nothing else, if, you know, Satan's kind of harassing you and telling you you're worthless or that you have no point or you have no function, you can at least say, hey, dude, I am salty. Back off. I'm salty. And you can kind of say it a little grumpy if you want when you're talking to Satan. I'm okay with that. You know, but you can be a little salty to Satan in the old school way or the cultural way. But to the rest of the world, be the salt of the earth. That's the character of Jesus. Let that shine through you. But you can. You can just say, hey, no, I have a purpose. I have a function here on this earth. God loves me. He blessed me with this. And if nothing else, he's called me to be the salt of the earth, which is not just something small. That's a big deal. That's really awesome. So God has gifted you in that, which is awesome. So the salt of the earth. So what does it mean? What does it mean to be salty? Well, what does salt do? We kind of look at that first. And this is where it's really interesting because there's so many things that you could talk about, you know, that salt does, and you can kind of overwork the analogy a little bit, you know, this comparison to us or us being called salt, and you can start pushing it a little too far. So we're just going to kind of keep it simple and look at a couple of things that salt does. One of it is salt flavors things, and not only does it add flavor, but it enhances other flavors. And I really like that concept, you know, so that as we are to be the salt of the earth, once again, it's not a... He didn't limit it to like a geographical location. He's saying that we, as followers of Jesus, are the salt. We are to flavor the entire planet. You know, there's no limit to where we're supposed to go. There's no limit to where we're supposed to engage. There's no limit where we're supposed to bring this flavor. So we're the salt of the earth. We flavor things wherever we go. So what does it mean to bring that flavor? Well, I kind of mentioned a little bit, but it's like bringing that character of Jesus Christ. You know, bringing his presence. We're kingdom people, so we bring the kingdom. And you think of things like, you know, the fruit of the Spirit and all of the characteristics that God calls us to, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and grace, mercy, hope, empathy, creativity, generosity. These are all the things that work out in our lives, and as we journey and as we grow, as we mature, we get more and more salty all the time. And so these are the things that we bring. This is how we bring flavor, that character of Christ. The Bible talks about the aroma of Christ, you know, and I think that's another thing, just that sweet presence of who Jesus is and his character. And as we allow those things to work in our lives, when we bring them, when we go out and about, you know, we are being salty. We are bringing those things. We are being the salt of the earth. We're flavoring the things around us, which is pretty awesome. So we can bring some flavor, and we can enhance other flavors. I kind of like that aspect of it, too, is like sometimes salt brings out other flavors. So if you think about it in the context of the body of Christ, or even in, you know, in the world around us, there's things that God has created, there's things that God is doing, and our saltiness, or when we bring it out, we can enhance those other things, and it kind of brings them out a little bit more, because you've got... you know, the character of Christ in me working with the character of Christ in someone else, and the Holy Spirit brings this together and makes, you know, just enhances this beautiful flavor of whatever he's doing. Because we're all not the best at everything across the board. When it comes to the kingdom of God, you know, and how we serve and who we are and our personalities, we're all made up differently. But what's really cool is that kind of the flavor we bring of that salt in our lives can enhance the flavor in other people. And then that can be the same with us. So not only do we go and bring a flavor into culture, we bring that flavor and presence of Christ, but we can enhance it in one another. And I think that's really awesome. God's called us to work together, to be a people that we truly are being used by him. So what else does it do? Well, it preserves and protects. So salt is used as a preservative, you know, to protect food from rot and being destroyed. And so it keeps food edible. And so I think that's another amazing aspect about being part of the salt of the earth. God has called us to take a stand. He's called us to take a stand for those who are oppressed. He's called us to take a stand against, you know, things that are demonic. He's called us to take a stand against things that are wicked. And, you know, he's called us to take a stand and protect the truth, you know, to be people of the truth and to declare his truth. And so I think that's also a big aspect of what we need to do, you know, standing against disunity, injustice, racism, oppression, hate, fear, you know, all of those things. He calls us to do that. And that's part of that preserving and protecting people. So preserving the kingdom, maybe protecting part of his kingdom. And once again, I don't think it's necessarily our responsibility to protect the kingdom of God. I mean, he can defend himself, but he often uses us to do that. He uses us to speak through it. He uses us to take a stand. We are his hands. We are his feet. And he sends us out to help preserve people, to preserve the kingdom, and to protect people, and to take a stand against the demonic plans and schemes that Satan has for this entire planet. And once again, it's a global thing. So we get to do that. We get to go out and bring the flavor and the beauty of who Christ is into culture and into one another's lives and to the entire planet. And we get to stand and take and, you know, protect and guard and keep the things that are godly and advance his kingdom. That's great. That's pretty awesome. That's a big thing to do, you know, when God says you are the salt of the earth. This is what it's entailing, you know, doing these things, being called to do these things, being called to move out. One of the things that it also means that I kind of see from this is that doing comes from being. Doing comes from being. So first off, salt, you know, we flavor the world. Salt preserves and protects. And then part of being salty means that we're doing, that what we do comes from being. So like when salt is added to food, it doesn't have to like work up anything. It doesn't have to, it's not like having to grab a bunch of stuff to enhance flavors and whatnot. It enhances flavors or adds flavor by its very nature. That's what it does. It's salt. So it does stuff. But that stuff that it does comes from who it is, from its being. And that's how we need to be. We need to be people, when we are the salt of the earth, that we are God's people. We are his children. It comes from being in that place where we be with God and we connect with him. And then the things that we do come out of that. That's where our source is. That's where our strength is. That's who, you know, our definition of who we are. You know, answering this question, who are you? Who am I? You know, that comes from being with Jesus. And it's not the other way around. We don't do so that we can be. We don't do stuff so that we can be loved. We don't do stuff so that we can be blessed. We do stuff because of who Christ is forming in us. So our motivation to do stuff is not to earn his favor. Our motivation is to do stuff because I love Jesus, and I'm going to do stuff for him because I love him. And because I love him, I love people. And because I love people, I want to do things. I want the character of Christ to come through me. And I see, you know, when things are going south, things are going wrong, I want to take a stand against that, or I want to pray against that. I want to be that preservative or that protection. And so there's that twofold thing that out of who we are, out of who God has made us to be, what he's forming in us, how we're becoming the salt of the earth, then we go out and that just manifests in us doing stuff. It's our motivation is the honor and glory of Christ and not our own honor and glory. The motivation is, you know, his strength, or the power, excuse me, is his strength. It comes from him. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from connecting with him. So it's great to have that understanding that, you know, we can be with Christ. We can be a Christian. We can be who we are. We can be who we're called. We're defined by him. But that also moves us out into actually doing. We go out and we serve people. We, you know, we love our families well. We love our neighbors well. We love our coworkers well. You know, and those are not necessarily easy things, but that's what we're called to do. That's part of being the salt, is going out and doing because of who we are. So doing comes from being. So we flavor, we protect, and we do because of who we are. And another one we do is we do not exist for ourselves. We do not exist for ourselves. So salt doesn't just exist to be salt. Salt exists. It's got a purpose, right? It's got a purpose to flavor food and to protect food. And that's what it does. And so it's meant to be added to things. Salt is meant to be used to do stuff. And so we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for others. We exist to flavor the world. We exist to enhance flavors of people and what God is doing in the kingdom. We exist to preserve and protect what he is doing in this world and the people around us. That's why we exist. We don't exist for ourselves. We don't exist just to exist. We exist because God created us. We exist because God loved us. We exist because God did those things and sends us out. He wants us to go and be that flavor. So we need to go out. So we are positive kingdom people. Positive kingdom people who have a positive impact on the world around us wherever we go. And a lot of times, it's as simple as just being. When you go out and you have that salt in you, you have the character of Christ in you, oftentimes you can just be somewhere and be with people, and you're not doing anything fancy. You don't necessarily have an intention that I'm going to disciple all these people or I'm going to lead all these people to the Lord. Maybe you do, but a lot of times it's just being who you are, allowing the nature of who you are to affect the world around you. That's the great way of doing it, because then it's like out of who you are, out of the abundance of your heart, out of the nature that Christ is forming in you, people start seeing love and grace and patience that they just don't get, or kindness and or a gentleness, you know, or even a strength and a confidence in situations where everyone else is just melting and keeling over. That's that flavor of Christ coming because of who you are, out of your nature. And you don't exist just for yourself. You exist to go out and allow that nature to come out and flavor and protect. So it's interesting to think about that too, because that means that, you know, whether you're in middle school or whether you're in middle of your retirement, it doesn't matter. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are his disciple, you are the salt of the earth, and you can go out and do these things. You can allow the very nature of who you are and what Christ is forming in you to go out and to flavor and to protect, to share his love, his grace, to allow people to see the character of Christ. And then they look at you and they're just like, there's just something, you just live differently. And I want to know what that is. And I think as our culture becomes more and more polarized, as things get a little more intense out there, as we just feel more and more just an oppression and the weight of the world, I think that those who are really following Christ, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that saltiness and that ability to have the character of Christ, it'll be like a superpower. It's just going to become more and more dramatic. And once again, it's not something that you should have to work up. We grow in maturity and we allow the nature of who we are that has been formed by Christ to come out. And unfortunately, sometimes, and we're human and we screw this up, sometimes it's our sin nature that comes out, you know? So sometimes instead of a God bless you, they get an F-bomb. You know, I don't know. Sometimes it can be that extreme. But it's like we need to be characterized by people who allow the character of Christ to come out. That the flavoring we're bringing is that flavor and beauty of who Christ is. And that's what he's called us to do. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you're at, because you can do that, because you are the salt of the earth. And it's something that, yes, we grow into, and as we mature, we start understanding it more. But be the person who you walk into a room and people like you to be there. They sense that character of Christ. And once again, it's not because, you know, you're overly charismatic or whatever. It's because you're full of the character of Christ. And that's that flavor that you're bringing, you know. Be that person who, when people are around, they know they're safe with you. You know, that person who protects other people's names, who protects other people's, you know, identity, and who speaks life into that. And maybe you're that person that when people know when you're around you or when they're around you that you will protect their identity in the sense of they just get bombarded with lies and Satan's always pushing on them and telling them they're worthless. And you're that one who comes in and says, no, that's not who you are. You are loved by God. Jesus loves you, you know, and you push back and you protect and then you breathe life and you flavor that person and you enhance that flavor in their life of the character of Christ in them. You know, that's the kind of people we need to be. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in. You can do that. You have people around you who you can season, who you can bring in this saltiness. So how do we do that? So how do you go out and be salt? How do you be salty? Well, I think it's first from the aspect of flavoring. It's just be around people. Which, you know, right now, in the middle of quarantine, that's kind of funny. It's like, yeah, go hang out with people. Except, well, most of you can't. Okay, so, but that doesn't matter. Everywhere we're at, depending on where you're at, some of you are working full time. All the people in our congregation I've talked with, there's some who have been quarantined the whole time. It's like what they did, their job, their function has just been sidelined. And there's others who it's just gone amped up, you know, where they are just around people even more. It's just now that they're all like completely garbed up, you know, and then there's others who it's just kind of stayed the same. You know, it's like some things got more intense, but some things got less intense. So as far as intensity goes or their interaction with people, it's the same. But it doesn't matter who you are, where you're at, or how isolated that you can still affect and connect with people. So first off, the obvious ones are your family and those people around you, you know, and then, you know, even if you're still even more isolated than that, you know, you're at home and you're by yourself, you know, there's social media, there's texting, there's phone calls, there's FaceTime. There is a way for you to connect with people as best you can and bring that flavor of Christ into their life. I think we've said this multiple times over the last 4 months, you know, is that this is an awesome season that if you feel like in the back of your head this thought comes in, you know, huh, I wonder about Carrie. I wonder how she's doing, or I wonder how Bob is doing. I haven't, you know, I should call him. Do it, you know, connect with them. And some people do better with Messenger. Some people do better with text. Some people do better with phone calls. You know how the person you're connecting with connects. Do it. You can bring the flavor of Christ. And then, you know, for those of you who are just like around people and the stress is amazing, this is a wonderful time for you to be that person who just, by the nature of who you are, exemplify Christ. That in the midst of chaos, in the midst of weariness, in the midst of stress, in the midst of whatever it is, you know, people getting, you know, just, you know, everyone's an expert. And oftentimes someone makes a decision, the person in leadership, and then they just get hammered from all sides. You know, you can be that person who supports them. And, you know, you bring that flavor of Christ and that grace to them and extend them some grace in this time where it's really difficult to make decisions. It's really difficult to lead. It's difficult to lead yourself. It's difficult to lead your family. It's difficult to lead at work. Wherever you're called to be, you can be that person. So no matter where you're at, no matter how old you are, no matter how isolated you are, you can connect with people. You can flavor this world as best you can because you are salt. You are the salt of the earth. You're salty. I'm going to say that again. Salty. Not old school, not cultural salty, but Jesus salty, because that's pretty cool. So, and as long as we're thinking about the protect part, this is another one that anyone can do anytime, anywhere. And, you know, once again, I really do believe that many of us are called to take a stand. Some of that's very, for some of us, that's going to be a public stand. For others, it's going to be more of a behind-the-scenes stand against, you know, different things. And some of us are going to be on the front lines working towards, you know, bringing health and wholeness to wherever, whatever it is, whatever issue. There's so many things going on right now, you know. And so we are called to very directly. But there's some of us who are kind of, maybe not, you know, maybe you can't engage with everything, but God can call you to engage with something. There's something in your area, in your life that you're passionate about, that you can take a stand, that you can protect, that you can speak into. And even if you're not necessarily doing something as far as being out there, the one of the things that we can do that's totally awesome is pray. You can pray. So when it comes to being the salt of the earth, one of the best things that we can do, and it should be one of the first things that we do to flavor this world, is to go before God and pray. Pray for people. Pray for situations. You know, speak that protection. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come in and move in whatever situation that is. Ask Him to move in power because prayer is effective. And that's one of the ways we can. That's one of the ways we protect. So connect with people and then pray. Pray and then connect with people. Just we can do that. And you guys come up, the worship team. And what I want to do is we're going to do our prayer time. And so I want you to think in the context of your life and who you are, where you're at, whether you're, you know, whether you're isolated and you're just like, I need people, or whether you're just like, I've seen so many people, I just need to like go find a cave. No matter that, I just want you to spend this next few minutes wherever you're at, with your family, by yourself, and ask Jesus what it means for you to be the salt of the earth. And then when you think of specific areas, I want you to pray for those areas. You know, first ask the Lord, guide me and teach me what it means to be the salt of the earth. God, you said that I am. This is what I am. It's not, I don't ask him to help you become the salt of the earth. Ask him to help you be who you already are and to grow in that. Ask him to use you to flavor the world around you. Ask him to use you to protect the world around you. And as you do that, he might bring up specific things. He might, like, maybe specific people in your neighborhood, maybe specific situations at work, and maybe specific situations in your family, you know, that need that flavor of Christ, that need that prayer and that protection. And then pray about that. If you got, you know, multiple people, just ask them, you know, what they think, you think their area in their life is, that's the salt, where they can be the salt. You know, your kids and anybody, you know. Just talk about it a little bit and then pray about it. And these guys are going to lead us. And as they do, the first song will be the instrumental, so you can engage with that prayer. We'll throw up I won't throw up. I'm not sick. But we'll put up the slide with that scripture on it, just kind of as a reminder and as a focus point. And then after a few minutes, they'll close us with a worship song. So let's do that together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have given us this mantle, God, that you have called us to be the salt of the earth. And Lord, that as we follow you, as we're followers of you, that we can do that. We can bring the flavor of Christ, the character of Christ, to the world around us. And we can stand, and we can stand for people. We can stand for those who don't have a voice. We can pray, and as you lead, we can be a voice for them. And Lord, I pray for each person watching now, no matter what phase of life they're in, no matter what situation they're in, whatever it is, God, no matter how old they are, that they would be able to understand they are the salt of the earth, that we are the body of Christ, and we are called to be the salt of the earth, and that we are part of a family that's global. We are part of an enterprise that's global, that's called to flavor the entire planet. And it's by your powering, your empowerment, and the power of the Holy Spirit working through us that we're able to do it. So it's not us. It's not us. It's a mantle you've put on us, and then you've graced us to be able to walk in it and do it. And I pray, Lord God, that we would grow in that, and that as we live our lives, that flavor would just get more and more salty all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.